typical Washington answer. The best day to retire is it depends. You know, depends on a lot of things. Tammy Flanagan has done some wonderful stuff. She's sort of the pioneer in this best day to retire thing. And in her government executive column earlier this year, she listed the best days to retire. And I have them. I have the link to it in today's column. So if people would care to check it out, they're best days to retire all throughout the year. But for a lot of people, many people want to retire at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, so in late December, early January. A lot of good reasons for that. One is that you can carry over the maximum amount of unused annual leave, vacation time. You can carry over a considerable amount if you do it at that point. You also get paid for it at the New Year's rate, so in this case it'll be a 1 percentage point increase in the value of it. And for tax purposes, that lump sum payment, or at least most of it, will be for the 2015 year instead of 2014. So your income's going to drop because you'll be retired. So you'll be paying less taxes on more money. So it's a good deal. And it depends if you're under the old CSRS, Civil Service Retirement System, or the CSRS Offset Program. There is one date to retire. Typically, it's January 2nd or 3rd. This time around, Tammy recommends, I think, January 10th of 2015 for those people, and there are reasons for that spelled out in the column. If you're under the FERS, the Federal Employees Retirement System, usually the best day is the 30th or the 31st. And again, there's sort of complex reasons. And today's column, it's all true, but it was kind of a spoof because people will call Tammy, get in touch with her, and they'll say, well, I want your expert opinion. What's the best date to retire? And she will say unequivocally, January 3rd. And then they'll say, how about the 4th? Or the second, you know, and it's like people who won't take yes for an answer. But it is tricky business, and I think some people fixate on it. Several people have said they want to work to get the holiday pay. And, you know, however much that is, it seems to me, just personally, in the scheme of things, if you work somewhere for 40 years, you know, you've given 40 years of your life, worrying about getting time and a half for the last day, it maybe is not that big a deal. But if it is to them, it is.
I think the word fixate is a really good one to use in this case because it sounds, just based on the questions that were raised on your turn this week, that people just need to get out of their own way sometimes, or just get out of their own head. I remember one question specifically was a Department of Labor employee. He had his best day to retire already planned out. He decided it was going to be January 2nd. And then he all of a sudden wondered, well, what if Secretary Perez gives us a bonus vacation day on January 2nd and I don't have to come back to work until January 3rd? And now he's dealing with the stress of figuring out the ramifications of adding 24 hours to his retirement plan, all based on a hypothetical vacation day that he might not even have.
No, that's a good point, because you can fixate on something and miss out on something, a much better deal. And also, too, it, you know, at the end of your career, maybe that's not the kind of thing you should be overly concerned about.
And actually, this reminds me of something that you told me a while back, which is one of the best pieces, if not the best piece of advice for people considering retirement, is not so much the money that you need or the best day to retire, but it's absorbing the concept that you're not retiring from something, you need to retire to something. And actually, you point out in the column that if people focused as much on relationships as they do on the best day to retire, the divorce rate might get cut in half.
Yeah, really, it is. It is interesting. Some of the really important things we do almost on the spur of the moment. I mean, like as people say, you have to take lessons and a test to drive, but you don't have to take lessons or a test to have a baby. You know, very interesting stuff. Yeah, I've heard this from a number of retirement experts, and they say, don't retire from something, retire to something. Maybe leisure. Maybe you're happy with that, you understand it. Several people that I know are kind of experimenting with trial retirement. They're moving to Florida for 6 months, but they're not going to buy yet because they don't know what it's like to live in Florida in the summer. You know, can you say fire ants? You know, things like that. And sometimes when you're in your 20s and you think, well, I'll move to the tropics and I'm going to surf every day. And then when you're in your 70s and 80s, the one thing you want to do is keep out of the sun. But it does help to have something. It could be voluntary work. It could be other part-time employment for pay. But it is important to have something to go to. You know, the people that say, I'm going to sleep till 10 o'clock every day and watch soap operas, that could get old.
And there's a lot of other questions that you might not even think of, like, you can't just retire to Florida. Are you retiring to North Florida? Are you retiring to South Florida, Central Florida, the Orlando area? Those are all very different places. You're going to have a very different experience in all three of them.
As a Floridian, you know it's at least three different states, with the Northerners in the top, right?
No. It's the Northerners in the South,
yes.
And the Southerners are in the North. And I think the word for that is backwards. But let's actually switch over to phased retirement. I mean, is that going to have an effect on the best day to retire equation at all?
It would seem to. The idea is you work part-time, and they haven't spelled out any limits, whether it's 6 months, a year, 2 years. And my guess, and it's purely a guess, is that the first time we're going to hear out of it, it will either be from a very small, very progressive federal agency, or it'll be from the Defense Department, the biggest one, because defense is the tail that wags the dog in most of these things, and defense can be extremely innovative when they do it. But the bottom line is, someone like me, someone like you, I'm the older, you're the younger, I would get into phased retirement, and the deal that I would cut with my agency, and it is at their option, it's not mine, it's their option, the deal I would cut with the agency is that I would spend at least 20% of my time mentoring you and young people like you. You know, I'm the old hand, I know why we do these things, I know how we do them, and then I pass that on to you. You can take it or leave it, but that's what I do. But I think it's a great idea. It's great in theory. Practice, we'll find out. I suspect we'll be talking about this and writing about it for years to come.
Let's pull the curtain back a little bit on you and Tammy, your expertise. When you're giving advice on retirement, are you guys focused on just maximizing financial returns for people, or are there other things involved, like maximizing happiness potential, for example?
That's a good question. And Tammy's the expert. I am an intelligent parrot. I remember things, and I hear certain things from people like Tammy and John Elliott and Walton Francis and whatnot. But they really know it. I just sort of know it by osmosis from hearing from it. But yeah, that's a good point. Everybody wants to, I guess, maximize their finances and get as much as they can. On the other hand, as Tammy points out, if you're absolutely miserable in your job, and we had several people who emailed us during the show, and one guy said, I can't stand it anymore. My earliest date is, and he knew the day, hour, and minute that he could retire. And Tammy's answer was, then that's your best date, if you literally can't stand it. If you want to work an extra 6 months to get some benefit, but kind of have a reason for it, and if you can remove emotion from it, that's all the better. If it's so emotional because you can't stand your job, you can't stand your coworkers, or the commute is breaking you down, then get out.
So we mentioned this briefly a little bit earlier, and you start off your column talking about it, but let's mention relationships again real quick. What type of impact does that have on choosing the best day to retire, or just retirement in general?
Critical, critical. And I speak as a long divorced guy now, but I think it's critical. And I've talked to a number of financial planners about this, and several of them have said when the husband and wife comes in, let's say the husband's the one retiring, they turn to the wife and they say, you're about to have twice the husband and half the income. How's that grab you? And, you know, it's absolutely true. He's going to be around the house, and she may have run it beautifully for 35 years, but suddenly he comes home with all these suggestions about how to make it work. And they said Lyndon Johnson, when he retired or left the presidency, he would call his staff at the ranch together every day and brief them like he was still at the White House. He could not let go of that power. But it's very critically important to keep your spouse up to date. I'm talking to one financial planner, and he said that a man and wife came in. The man, maybe they both worked, but the man was their primary breadwinner at that time. And he started talking about what he was going to do. And he said they were moving, I think, to Florida. And he was going to buy a boat yard or buy a boat. But anyhow, it had to do with guiding people and commercial fishing. And my friend, the financial planner, said the woman looked at him like she'd never met him, never been in the same room with him. She had never heard that. That was his dream for 30 years, and she had never heard it. So, you know, check it out with your spouse.